Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Destiny of Humanity. God had a specific purpose for Abram and Sarai, and to make that clear, their names were changed to Abraham and Sarah. The Lord's plan was for them to have an heir, but that promise was a long time in coming and led to repeated moral failures as well as growth in faith for both of them. Jesus was merciful in the midst of these flops and came to visit Abraham and Sarah prior to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Isaac brought a lot of joy to their lives, and then came the big test when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his long-awaited son on Mount Moriah. Jesus already knew what was in the heart of Abraham. It's just that he needed to know for himself. Abraham had joys and regrets about his time on earth, and there is much to learn about this man of faith. This message is entitled, Latter Years of Abram. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be talking today about the latter years of Abram, that later was there, his name changed to Abraham. And I'm excited about this message. I think we can learn something about it. But before we do, those of you in the chapel, will you stand and we're going to pray, give you a chance to get a little bit of circulation, so when you stand up, and you're in the home, stand up in front of your television set or computer as we pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we have here today. And I ask you, Lord, that Father God, your Holy Spirit will be here, and that you will minister to us, guide us, lead us, and help us, Father God, to walk with you in such a way that your kingdom shall be expanded, and that we, Father God, shall have been able to be part of it. Open the word to us. Holy Spirit, speak to us, and give us insight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. But praise the Lord. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 17. And since I did, you know, there's a joke. If you do two sermons, you take two offerings. But we be nice. We don't take offerings here. We got a bag laying around here. And so people give if they want to give. We don't ask them. I want to talk to you about names. We had Abram, and that means exalted father. Sarah, E, means my princess. God now wanted to work with Abram and Sarai, or Sarai, we pronounce it. And by the way, let me make a correction from last week. It was actually hilarious. I was talking about the wise men came with gifts so that Joseph could take Mary and Jesus to Egypt to be financed. And I said that they brought myrrh, gold, and Frankenstein. It should be frankincense. Thanks to Brother Bob in Sacramento. He called me afterwards and said it was not Frankenstein. It was frankincense. So I stand corrected. Praise the Lord. God has some humor. It's going to work out for us anyway. So in Genesis 17, if you read the first few verses here. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be you perfect or be complete. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. God simply said, I'm going to change your name. Because every time your name is spoken, it's going to speak faith, action, a father of many nations. He only had one son, but the descendants got into many, many millions. Sarah had her name changed. In verse 15, and God said to Abraham, As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give you a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Why is the name important? Because it gives it an identification. If you notice this, particularly in America, I noticed that. Everyone has a nickname. If your name, for example, is Thomas, they call you Tom. If your name is Joseph, they call you Joe. If your name is Susanna, they call you Sue. And so, a lot of people simply go by their nickname. They'll realize that when your father and mother gave you a proper name at birth, there was a blessing with that name. And every time somebody speaks that name, it creates that blessing is revitalized. And we simply say, well, you know, we don't think about it and so on. Words are very important. By your words you shall be saved. By your words you shall be condemned. So, if you have a name and you go by a nickname, every time your people use that, you're shortchanged. You might think that I'm simply, well, you know, that's nitpicking. It might be. I'm just telling you this. Be blessed. It's your choice. You can be blessed if you want to. I want you to see Abraham now. And Sarah, they were just like you and I. No difference. They just lived in a different time period. They were people just like us. And God simply said, now, I'm going to give them a son. Abraham, 99. He'd be 100 when Isaac is born. Sarah, probably about 90 years old. And I want to read these verses from 7 down through 14. And I would have set my covenant between me and you. Notice now in all these covenants, it is not a covenant between God and Israel. It is a covenant between God and Abraham. He never had a covenant with the political state of Israel. He had covenants with Abraham. When they came out of Egypt in a desert, that's when God made a covenant with the people of Israel, which is known as the first covenant. That covenant ended the moment Jesus died on the cross. We're now in the second covenant. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, your seed after you in their generation, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto you and to your seed after you. And I will give unto you and your seed after you the land where you are a stranger, all land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, you keep my covenant, therefore, you and your seed after you in their generations. This is the covenant which you shall keep between me and you, and your seed after you. Every man child of you shall be circumcised. That means cutting off the foreskin of the male organ. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He is born in the house, or bought with money, or a stranger, which is not of your seed. The 8th day. Why did God say 8th day? Well, we have learned some time ago, I don't know how long ago, that we have a special vitamin called K vitamin. And on the 8th day in a male boy, that K vitamin is at its peak, which means that if you do any cut on a boy at that age, 8 days, there will be almost no bleeding. Just a tidbit. You can check it out. And then we go down here to verse number 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face. What does that mean? He was sitting there, and he laughed so hard, he simply rolled on the floor. And went, ha, he could have stopped laughing. And that was Jesus standing there. He said, this is ridiculous. How many times have you laughed at God? How many times have you said this is impossible? This can't be done. It's a disaster. Praise God. Jesus knew. Abraham, he simply said, I forgive him. That's all right. He will know. I understand. He doesn't have the faith. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. He said, I got a son, Ishmael. Let him be the heir. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed. You shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. One footnote now. There are things that you got to do and the things that God will do. God will do the impossible. You will have to do the possible. One thing you're going to hand to Abraham, he simply says, Sarah, we're going to have some sex. I know you're 90 years old. I'm 99. Doesn't matter. We're going to do it. So Abraham did the possible. God did the impossible. He made her pregnant. And a year later, they got their child. Learn this. Never underestimate God. Simply say this. With God, all things are possible. God's mercy is long. God has mercy. He's long-suffering. Let's turn to chapter 18. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing here, but I'm going through a couple of things. And the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in a tent during the heat of the day, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself to the ground, and said, my Lord, if I now have found favor in your sight, pass another way, I pray you, from your servant. He recognized here was Jesus, the Creator. 2 angels coming to him. And he said, my Lord, if you now found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray you, from your servant. Let the water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet. Rest yourself under the tree. He didn't have a house. and I will fetch you a morsel of bread. Comfort your hearts after you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do, as you have said. And Abram hasted unto the tent of the Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal kneaded, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abram ran into the herd, fetched the calf tender and good, gave it to the young man, and he hasted to dress it. And took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, as they did eat. If you go to a restaurant, and you order chicken, you know, they don't go out to the backyard and get a chicken, you know, cut its head off, get the feathers off, you don't prepare it, you know. These chickens are ready to go. Jesus, the stranger, probably sat there at least 2-3 hours, waiting patiently for Abraham to be able to have a nice meal up. You know, when you have guests in your home, you prepare, you put on some nice silverware stuff on the table. Most people do. And you want the people to enjoy your food. And Jesus knew that. That's a small thing. And I want you to understand this, that God loves you so much. His interest in your daily life. His interest in what you do during the daytime. When you sit down to eat, he's there with you. When you have a tough time and there's pain, he's there with you. I want you to understand that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they want to come, they want to sup with you and be with you constantly. They love us. Here's a bonus scripture coming up. Revelation chapter 3. Let me get to it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, I will sup with him, and he with me. Don't you enjoy when you have a good friend or good friends coming over to your house? Or if you go to somebody's house, your good friends, and sit down and have a nice meal with them and talk, you know, and fellowship with them. You enjoy that. God enjoys fellowshipping with us. Now, Jesus came down to take care of Sodom and Gomorrah too. If you read in verse number 22, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see what they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming unto me, and if not, I would know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before Lot, before the Lord. Now, Abraham was determined. Jesus turned around. Angels turned around, they're going to walk. Abraham just walked right in front of him and said, you know, I want to talk. He was talking to the Creator, the Son himself. And Abraham drew near, which means he went closer. And he said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from you to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as wicked. That be far from you. Shall not the judge, he acknowledged him now, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He prayed. What is prayer? Talking to God. And the Lord, or Jesus, said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I will spare the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I take it upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. He recognized, okay, Lord, I know who you are. I'm nothing but proud adventure. They should lack 5 out of 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find a 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said to him, oh, let not the Lord be angry. Now we speak peradventure there should be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And Abraham said, behold now, I take it upon me to speak unto you, Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet. But this once, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Have you ever looked at that? That's a prayer. When was the last time you prayed for the lost? We need to pray for the Democrats. I hate them. But they're human beings. You know, Christ died for them too. And here is Abraham now, praying for these. I'm not going to use the word, start with an F, but I'm not going to use it. Sodomites in Sodom and Gomorrah. He prayed for them. And I want you to see now, Jesus did not say, Abraham, shut up. I went down to 45. What are you doing, bargaining with me? He simply went down to 10. Then Abraham knew that's a limit. When you pray, ask, ask, and do you know that God says, okay, we'll do it. In Genesis 19:17-29, we read the following. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth, and brought of the angels, taking Lot and his family, that he said, escape for your life, look not behind you, neither stay you in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, Lord. Behold, now your servant has found grace in your sight. You have magnified your mercy, which you have showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape into the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, the city is near to flee into. It's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little one. My soul shall live. And then the angel said, I'll let you. Verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth, and Lot entered the Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire for the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew these cities, those cities, and all the plain and all that happened in the cities, and that we grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and to all the plan, land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Must have been tough for Abraham, standing there, seeing the smoke come up, knowing this. Hundreds of thousands of people wiped out, just incinerated, because they had sinned, would not repent. It changed Abraham, but he still had fear. Let's take you now to chapter 20 of Genesis. Fear is something that you and I are fighting with all the time. Fear is a powerful group of evil spirits. Probably more powerful than anything else. They will paralyze you. And they are unmerciful. They had no mercy. Now Abraham simply felt this. I got to go to this city. And again, they look upon my wife. first two verses. And Abraham journeyed from thence to the south country, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are but a dead man, for the woman which you have taken, for she is a man's wife. I'm not going to read all the verses in there. But Abimelech simply realized, I got to give this woman back. In verse 9, and Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done unto us? And what have I offended you? You brought on me and my kingdom a great sin. You have done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what do you say is done? That you have done a thing. And Abraham said, because I thought, surely, the fear of God is not in his place. Listen now, he said now. These people here do not believe in God. They are heathens. Therefore, God cannot control them. And Abraham, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in his place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. God can control evil people as easily as he controls good people. God can control the devil. He does. God can control anyone. Down the road, you might be standing in front of some evil people. The Antichrist system is here. And, you know, they're demanding things of you. Remember this. If your time is up, it's up. But if your time is not up, they can kill you. They cannot touch you. Have faith in God. And yet indeed she's my sister, she's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she'd be my wife. Half truth. Always tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And then Abraham had to leave in shame. Have you ever been caught in a lie? You found out. It's humiliating. It's shameful. You have to apologize. There's nothing you can say. Except, you know, I deserve whatever I get. Abraham learned for the last time. Fear cannot rule my life anymore. In Genesis 21, we read about the birth of Isaac. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham his son in his old age, at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born to him, which Sarah bare to him Isaac, which means laughter. And Abraham circumcised the son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all that hear would laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Satan had worked hard to destroy Abraham and Sarah. But God simply worked with them. Satan has worked hard to destroy you. Most of you here in the chapel, watching, have had a rough life. Some of you might have rougher than others. Difficult time. And you wonder, why is that? But God has a job for you. He has a plan for you. He's preserved you. He is preserving you. He will vindicate you. He will activate you. And he will give you time on this earth. Let's talk about the big test. And I want to turn to Isaiah 46 here. I want us to settle something. It's Isaiah chapter 46. I'm going to read verses 9 through 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. God knows everything in the future. He knows the past, the present, and the future. You have a day, an hour, a minute, and a second when your body is going to drop. That has been set by God. God knows exactly when you're going to die on this earth. There was a king, Hezekiah. He was told by the prophet, set your house in order, you're going to die. You're not going to get healed. The king turned around his bed, wept, and prayed, and asked God for extension. God stopped the prophet outside and said, go back in. And God said, I gave you 15 more years. And he got exactly 15 more years. God knows about your paychecks. He knows about future children. He knows everything about you. And so, if you can learn to understand that, then you can begin to trust God and say, I trust you that you will work out in my life what you want for me. And the only thing that can derail that is if you are disobedient. If you say, no, I don't want to do it. Let me take you back again to Genesis chapter 2 now. Genesis, the 22nd chapter. If you pick it up here in verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, or test him, and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, get you in the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you of. This test was for Abraham, so that Abraham would know what was in him. But this test was also for you and me. Because you see, Abraham is counted as a man of righteousness. And he stands in history. As the people of Israel look back, the founder, the Chaldean, that founded the founder of Israel, the 12 tribes, stand there as the man that trusted God. He had waited for about 80 years to get a son. Got a son. And then God said, now, sacrifice him. If you have something that is dear in your life, that you hold on to, that you protect, that you will not let go, there's going to come a time when you'll be tested. Are you willing to let it go? Are you willing to let things go? Abraham didn't lose it. But you had to be willing to lose it. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, clay the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Listen, man. Listen, man. Abraham did not say, God, I got to consult with my wife first. If God speaks to you as a man, consult with no one. If you know that you know that you know that you know this is God, you do it. Women, if God has been speaking to you that this is what you are to do, don't consult with anyone. Do what God told you to do. Because, you see, He says, well, I'm not too sure about this. God, yeah, I appreciate it, God. Yeah, I heard you, God. I know you spoke to me. I know this is the Holy Spirit. But, you know, I made better, you know, check it with someone first. You're simply calling God a liar. You can test the spirits. But Abraham simply said, I'm not going to talk to Sarah. I'm not going to talk to anyone. I'm going to do it. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place farther off. Abraham, in the chapter before, he had been down south of Jerusalem toward Egypt. And he traveled now up to the area of Salem, which then became Jerusalem. And there was a specific mountain there. The mountain was maybe about 809 feet tall. It was called Moriah. Abraham did not know that this is the place that God would tell Solomon, about 1,500 years later, build my temple here. He didn't know that. Mount Moriah is where Jesus is coming back. It's a focal point. Now, I want you to imagine this. Here's Abraham. His Isaac, probably about 12, 13 years old, chattering, you know, like a little boy does, serveth with him. And Isaac is talking. Every reader is here. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, a fire and a wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? By the way, let me explain this to you. The time of Abraham now didn't have matches. Didn't have big lights. They didn't have that. So what they had was, they would have some kind of a clay pot. A fairly, not too large, but a clay pot. And they would have in there coals. So they had a fire, they would put coals in there, and just put enough air in that the coals were still burning, but not being consumed. And when they needed to start a fire, they would simply open it up, put something down that was easy to have to catch on fire, and they started a fire, then they closed it up again. So they carried that, they had a fire, and they had the wood. Can you imagine Isaac looking up and said, Dad, we got this, we got that, but where's the lamb, Dad? Can you imagine the heart of Abraham and how Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Abraham now had the faith. God is going to do something here. And they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar for the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Isaac did not fight his dad. Abraham picked that knife up. He must have simply closed his eyes and ready to plunge it down when he heard, Abraham! Stop. And God simply said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, you worship me. See, you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as he said to this day, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. That was a very, very big test. And this is something that you and I are going to encounter in our lives. We are going to be tested. And when we are tested, it's important. that we do not fail, that we will come to a place that we simply can say this, I obeyed. I didn't have fear. On the last page here on my sermon, we have the end of Sarah's time on this earth. She lived for another 37 years after giving birth to Isaac. So Isaac was 37 years old when his mother died. Abraham lived longer. He lived 75 years later. And I just want to hit the scripture in Genesis 24, 1 through 9. Genesis 24, 1 through 9. And Abraham was old and once stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abram in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all he had, put, I pray you, your hand under my thigh. I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you shall not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And he also told him this, beware that you do not bring, that you bring not my son thither again. Don't bring him back to Haran. People says, well, you know, if you marry outside the race, if blacks marry whites, Indian marries blacks, Eskimos marry Hawaiians, is that against the will of God? I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to pick it up in verse 14. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? What part does he that believes with the infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be your separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you, and I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God said this, do not marry an unbeliever. We do not marry outside of faith, not of race. That's important to understand that. The last years of Abraham, he lived another 75 years. He found another wife, Keturah. He had six boys with her. On top of that, he had concubines. And he had a number of children with them. So, summarize this. What about the life of Abraham? He had faith. He's known for that. But if you turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24, that is Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. God never meant for a man to have two wives, or to have concubines or slave women. That was a sin of King David. It's a sin of a number of other people in the Old Testament that eventually was eradicated. I'm sure that Abraham in heaven regretted that he had these children outside Sarah. But done is done. And we're going to close here in scripture here. I'm going to read from Romans chapter 4, verse number 1 through 5. I really run out of time today, So, but the good thing is, you got the outline, you can read it, the scriptures are there, and it's not like it is a loss. Romans chapter 4, 1 through 5. What shall we say then that Abraham, our fathers, pertained to the flesh has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. That to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Forever, Abraham obeyed there, the father of faith. He will be a point in history that all of us go back to. The Chaldean that hated God and came to the land of Canaan, lived in tents, and became the man that God wanted. What about you and me? What does God expect out of you and me, as men and women? The only thing God expects from us is obedience. That's all he's asking. Be obedient. Obey my commandment. Obey what I tell you to do. Obey, obey, and obey, and I can bless you. That's the key point. And if you and I as Christians live like that, God can bless us immensely. If we disobey, we be cursed and we miss our blessings. If you watch me today or listen to me, you're not saved, and you say, I want to get saved. Here's how you got saved. Just ask God right now to forgive you. Confess that you're a sinner. Confess that you have done wrong. Ask God to forgive you. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day. And then say, Jesus, come on in, Jesus, and save me. And Jesus will save you. If you do that, when we finish here, when you see the picture disappear, another picture will come up of three crosses. And you hear a voice of Charles Terrell, my nephew, Pastor Terrell here at the Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And he will take about 8-9 minutes of your time and share with you, step by step, how to be saved. And then you can pray with him. If you do that, call us, write us, so we can help you, minister to you, and give you some things that will help you to grow. So what I want you to take home today, well, I have two messages. First one is, pray, be alert, educate yourself. The second message, let the Bible be your foundation. Be obedient in all things. May God bless you. Here is Brother Thomas.
Father God, we thank you for the word here today on the life of Abram and Sarah, and truly a miracle. Also, Lord, we want to lift up this coming week in this with the nomination of this Supreme Court justice, and there are factions at work that want to really see a breakdown take place. So we ask that we can go forth in peace in the United States of America. So we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the sixth part in the series, The Destiny of Humanity, and was entitled, Latter Years of Abram. God had a specific purpose for Abram and Sarai and changed their names to make it clear they would be parents to the rest of the world. Jesus came to visit them prior to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in order to remind them of his promise of an heir. God supernaturally touched Abraham and Sarah to conceive, and when Isaac finally arrived, he brought a lot of joy to their lives. Everything was seemingly fine until many years later when the Lord asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah. God already knew what was in the heart of Abraham, it's just that he needed to know for himself in the final test. The latter part of Abraham's life was used to bury Sarah and to make sure that Isaac had the right wife. Abraham outlived Sarah by 40 years, and he started a new family with a second wife. However, he also had a harem of concubines and produced children with them as well. Jesus was able to build faith in Abraham, but he was never able to bring Abraham into a moral life. This father of Israel had joys and regrets about his time on earth, and there is much to learn from this man of faith. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1671. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.